Our second reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. So there's Herod, a paranoid, powerful, vengeful leader. He builds large structures to prove to Rome that he and his province are important. He kills people, family included, who he thinks pose a threat to him. He's just steady enough to stay in power and unsteady enough to be very dangerous. There are the chief priests and scribes, religious leaders who should be engaged with the idea of Scripture being fulfilled through the Messiah and are instead indifferent at best about this news from the wise men. These same religious leaders represent the power and institutions that will challenge Jesus' ministry as an adult and eventually lead to his death. They're wise men from the east, mysterious star followers. We know little about them, and so we develop stories around them. Scripture doesn't say there are three, but there are three gifts, and we sang the song that way this morning, and so it must be so. We don't know if they were astrologers or kings or historians or what, but they saw God's sign in the sky, a star, and they followed it. When I tell this story, these are the people I usually lift up: Herod, the religious leaders, the wise men. But this year, I'm drawn to other people in the story, to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and particularly Mary and Joseph. In verse 11, at the end of our passage, we hear, "On entering the house, the wise men saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." On Christmas Eve at our 5 p.m. worship service, we acted out the Christmas story from Scripture. In our retelling and portrayal, the wise men arrived to the manger approximately 2 minutes after the shepherds and 5 minutes after Jesus was born. Today, January 7, we are still talking about the Christmas story because of our church calendar. The 12 days of Christmas represent the time that it took the wise men to get to Bethlehem. Yesterday, January 6, marked 12 days. We call the 12th day Epiphany. And so we retell the story again today. It was likely a much longer period than 5 minutes or 12 days between Jesus' birth and the arrival of the wise men. One idea is that it was closer to 2 years. This comes from the verses that follow our passage. The wise men are warned in a dream not to return to Herod, so they go home by another way. And once Herod realizes what's happened, he is angry and he calls for all children, two and younger, to be killed. Given that Herod was known to execute family members he saw as threats, he was not concerned with being precise in murdering small children. So when he sat down and did the math based on when the wise men told him the star appeared, he figured it was better to cast a wide net in regards to this baby Messiah. There is plenty we could say about Herod's cruelty, but instead I want to focus on what it meant to Mary and Joseph to have this visit from the wise men some 2 years after Jesus was born. As I read through Scripture during Advent and Christmas and now Epiphany, I kept noticing something. Christmas is about the incarnation, God taking on flesh to live with us. The incarnation is like nothing else in the world, and there's nothing that compares to it. And in addition to the power of it, it also teaches us. God coming into our world shows us the power of presence. While God's presence is the most powerful, the presence of another person who follows God is powerful too. When Mary was pregnant, she got out of town quickly while her family and fiancé processed the news. It wasn't until her relative Elizabeth, standing before her, proclaimed to her what the angel had said, that she would give birth to God's child, that she finally celebrated. Mary needed the assurance, the affirmation of someone else who was also following God. Mary returned home, and near the end of her pregnancy, she and Joseph went to Bethlehem for the census. It was there that Jesus was born. And just in case they needed some assurance that this birth really was what the angels promised them, shepherds appeared. The shepherds told the story of angels singing and announcing that God was born. Last week, Jeff Snook preached. You can hear the sermon on our website. He preached on the story of Simeon from the book of Luke. Simeon was righteous and devout. The Holy Spirit guided him to the temple on the day that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus as part of the law of purification. When Simeon saw Jesus, he sang with joy. The scripture says that the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about Jesus. And then Simeon blessed them and spoke to Mary about Jesus. Jeff said this purification law required a visit to the temple when the baby was around a month old. What I remember about the first month of having a baby is that I don't remember much. Sleep deprivation has very real cognitive effects. If Mary and Joseph were anything like every other set of parents, they might have lost track of God's promise in the midst of keeping Jesus fed, changed, and calm. For Simeon to stand before them and sing and proclaim to them that their son was the child of God assured them that this was really meant to be. I doubt that for them, hearing that they were to raise God was something that ever really sank in, especially after there was life to return to. Mary and Joseph kept living, working, paying taxes, and worshiping God, doing the things that everyone else they knew was also doing. And they kept raising Jesus, God in the flesh. I imagine that at around age 2, Jesus, like all toddlers, was delightful, curious, and had some strong opinions. So while perhaps his parents thought about his divinity, they were also well acquainted with his humanity. And then here came the wise men, bringing gifts, worshiping and adoring him. Here came the wise men announcing to Mary and Joseph that, yes, this really was happening. This visit, in the midst of day-to-day challenges and in advance of Herod's horrific decree, assured Mary and Joseph of God's presence, not only in their son, but in the community that would surround them. This Epiphany, I see Mary and Joseph's story as one of finding God's community in unlikely places. Mary finds it with her older relative Elizabeth. Together she and Joseph find it with lowly shepherds and then with Simeon in the temple. And then today with wise men from the east. These are not the people from Nazareth who knew Mary and Joseph well. These were not the people they would expect to surround them, and yet this is who God used. Different Christian churches and traditions celebrate Epiphany, the coming of the wise men, in different ways. There are Eastern Orthodox churches where they focus on this story and Jesus' baptism together, so in places like Russia and Bulgaria and Greece, priests will toss crosses into open water. Church members dive for them on Epiphany. In Spain, children leave their shoes outside in the hopes they will be filled with candy and presents if the youngsters have been good. My challenge for us in response to this story sounds a little boring in comparison. It doesn't involve gifts or polar bear plunges. In this new year, my Epiphany challenge is to place yourself in the story. Look for the people in your life who need to be reminded of God's presence and show up and remind them. And look for the people in your life who are making God's presence known to you and receive it. When the wise men appeared before Mary and Joseph, the message was clear. This is real. This is beautiful and hard, and you aren't doing this alone. This is a message we all need.